Thanks so much for tuning into the Rage Student Ministries podcast. Here's one of the current messages from our youth group, and I hope that it speaks to you. It's easy to find one that will compromise, but it's not easy to find one that's willing to stand. We'll go to hell, that's why. But to heaven, it's a one way, one truth, one life. That's why we're not ashamed of the name of Jesus. And we don't. All right, well, in this series called Greater, and it's all about realizing the potential that God has given each of you to achieve a greater existence, a greater life, a greater plan than you are living for now. And so, just a quick disclaimer, this is a smaller group tonight. There's a few people that had some issues come up that couldn't be here. We get that. That is life. But it still means the same rules apply. So I want you to stay off your phones. Just don't use the bathroom, because it's going to be even more awkward in a small group. And if you try to leave, I will personally tackle you, because once you're here, you stay here. So go ahead and try it. We'll see what happens. It won't be pretty. So, greater is all about realizing this God-given potential that you have been given and reaching for it. It's never just settling for average, an average existence. It's going into a greater depth of trust, a greater amount of influence in your school. It's a greater impact for the kingdom. And all of us are called to this. All of us are on this journey if we choose to be. God's called all of us, but it's up to us to truly respond. And as I was thinking about this series and thinking of this message, I realized that even though we're called to greater, a lot of times we don't feel very great, do we? We feel pretty inadequate. I know I do. In fact, lately I've felt that way pretty frequently. I felt like, man, I'm not good enough. I'm not cut out for this. I'm this or I'm that or I'm the other thing. And all of it is realizing that I'm just not thinking I have anything to offer of worth. And we all think that way sometimes. We all go through these portions. And there's been a lot of times in my life when I've realized that, okay, I'm probably far from great. And when I was first starting to learn how to play the guitar, when I was a teenager, I learned like three chords. And I'm like, yes, I'm the coolest thing ever. And I had an uncle who was like really good at music. He had this pole barn set up with like full PAs and drum sets and like full stacks for you guitar freaks. I mean, like full stack amps in there. You name it, this guy had it. And everybody kept telling me, we need to play with other people if you want to get better. And I'm like, yeah, I know three chords. I can do this. So I go out there and I'm like, I'm awesome. And then I start playing with these dudes and they're like shredding the guitar. And I'm like, I really am not very good. I suddenly don't have very much to offer. But the problem was, is I was judging my abilities on somebody else's abilities. Now, I had the same opportunity. I had the same opportunity to learn and to grow and to get better, just like they had put practice in and learned and had grown and gotten better. Let's face it, they weren't born. They were like, blah, 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 like crazy guitar solos. Like, they had to learn how to do these things and practice. They had to grow in their abilities. I was judging myself, and I was overlooking my own potential and what I could someday be like by looking at them and comparing myself to a whole different standard, a whole different level. If I wanted to know where I was at, I should have really looked at somebody who knew three chords. And so I know a few more now. I know like five. So we're getting there. Point being, sometimes in your life, you feel like you don't have anything to offer. You really do. You feel like, I'm here, but I'm just really not doing a whole lot. And I've heard some of you guys say probably the biggest crap line I could ever imagine hearing, and that is, oh man, in the Speed the Light competition, like, I just can't give as much as the other group because I don't have a job. That's a load of garbage. I'm just going to say that right now, because we have groups who have jobs that aren't giving as much as ones who don't. So there is never an excuse for that. But you have the ability, if you don't have a job, to still raise money, to get creative ways to really win this thing. You have motivation. You have God-given creativity. You can get together as a connection group and do this thing. Don't judge your ability to give based on the income you have coming in. Base it on the God-given potential that He's given you to really step up to the challenge. And so for those of you having jobs, you should be given some more money. Just saying. I want you to get this. It's not about what you don't have,
It's about what you have now that you can offer to Jesus. It's not about what you don't have. What do you have now? What do you have now? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for every person here tonight. God, I thank you that you really are holy. You are the one true God. And Lord, I thank you that you've given all of us different talents and abilities, and you've gifted each of us unique. Lord, I thank you that you've given us the opportunity to grow in those giftings and that we don't just have to stay where we are in them. And so, Lord, I just pray tonight that you'll challenge us and encourage us to really pursue you at a greater level and to understand more of the gifts that you've given us and what we have to offer you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, which all of you do because you love Jesus, open up to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. What we're going to see here is a passage of scriptures that kind of helps us realize that we're not alone in some of these feelings of feeling inadequate. We all feel it. You know, Ecclesiastes tells us that there's nothing new under the sun. It's really nothing new. And so all the things that we experience, other people have already gone through it. They've already experienced it. It doesn't matter what current year or century we live in, the principle remains that there's really nothing new that others haven't already gone through. So every person in the history of the world a lot of times feels like they have nothing to offer. Lord, I have nothing. And so we see in 2 Kings 4, we find the account of a woman who felt like she had nothing to offer God at all. And she felt like she didn't have really any way out of the trouble that she was facing. She felt backed into a corner. And you're going to see why in just a minute. So 2 Kings 4, in the first and second verses, it says this. The wife of a man from the company of prophets cried out to Elisha. There's that name again, right? We've been talking about the life of Elisha. So you're seeing this journey. And I want to pause right here for a second. It says she did what to Elisha? Cried out. What does that sound like? Desperation. There you go. It's not like, hey, excuse me. It's like everything you can do to get their attention. Everything you can possibly do. So she screams out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my two boys and his slaves. Now you're starting to see why she feels desperate. Husband is gone, no income, two sons are going to be taken into slavery if this debt can't be paid. Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Do you love that? It's like Chick-fil-A. How can I help you? It's like the most polite. Maybe Elisha works at Chick-fil-A. How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? What do you have in your house? Your servant has nothing there at all, she says, except a small jar of olive oil. So here you have this widow. Her husband was a prophet. He was, in a modern-day sense, he was a Christian. He was like a pastor. He's a traveling evangelist. And then, all of a sudden, he's gone, and he had some debts, probably from ministry, right? We don't make a whole lot of money, and that happens sometimes. It doesn't mean that debt is okay, because it's never God's plan. Like, he wants us to pay those kind of things off. And we see that her family, the only people that are left are her two sons, which whom are going to be taken into slavery. That's kind of a serious thing. Now, aren't you glad that today they don't, like, capture you into slavery if you don't pay off your debt? Aren't you happy about that? Student loans, you guys are probably going to have those. Aren't you happy that if you don't pay off your student loan in, like, 4 years, they're not going to take you into slavery? You should be a little more excited about this because the U.S., meaning us, because we're all in the U.S., have this thing called the national debt. That means a small country called China, if they were to call, wow, I just broke my podium. If they were to call on the national debt and say, pay up, none of you would be free. None of you. Think about that for a moment. So we're like, yeah, I'm happy they don't. You should be very happy they don't deal with it that way anymore. So in here, you have a widow. She is up against the odds. She's facing something that is really immeasurable. She can't overcome this on her own, and she has nothing to offer. And I'm sure she felt scared. She felt inadequate. She felt anything but great. But God's called each of us to greatness. He hasn't called us to be slaves to others. He's called us to walk in freedom. I love her response when asked, well, what do you have? Like, what can you do about this? She says, I have nothing at all. She's realizing her inadequacy. There's nothing in me that can overcome this. And then you see this little response, except a small jar of olive oil. Have you ever noticed it's not the obvious things that God wants to use? Not the obvious things. In that, I almost picture her as lighting up. Man, I got nothing. But you know what? I have this one jar. There's one jar of olive oil. Because she knows the God that she serves, the God that her husband served and is now with, can do immeasurably more with that little bit. It's that thought, man, maybe God could use this. Maybe he could use this. Nothing is too small. Nothing is too average. Nothing is too ordinary, too inadequate for God to use for greatness. Think of Moses, the man who stuttered, ended up being a public speaker to Pharaoh. And by the way, he also killed somebody. That probably disqualifies you from most positions of influence. God can use it. God can use it because he had a repentant heart. He said, Lord, I want to be used. I have these problems. And God said, I will help you. Let me use your inadequacy for greatness. All of the disciples were like, man, these people walked with Jesus. They had never been out of a 30-mile radius of their house. Like 30 miles is like the ends of the earth to these people. They were uneducated. They were inexperienced. They were young. They had nothing to offer in the world's eyes. But 3 years with Jesus, and they're defined as the very people who flipped the known world upside down. But they had nothing. It's amazing to think. All this woman had was a single jar of oil. Oil, I want you to get this, in large amounts at this time represented wealth and stability. So by them defining all I have as this little bit here was showing us she was poor. She didn't have any means to really do this. She had nothing significant to offer, but God called her to greater. God called her not to be stuck in that situation. He has called you to greater. Often a lot of us feel that way. God, I have nothing to offer. I have nothing to get me to the point of greater. And that's the very mindset that will take you back to where you were. God, I've got nothing to offer. That's why last week that I preached, when we talked about burning the plows, it was so critical. Because when you burn the plows and you're all in, it doesn't matter if you feel like you have something to offer or not. You say, God, here's the only thing I have. Please use it. And he will. And he'll do a ton of awesome stuff with it. All right, so verses 3 through the first part of 5. Elisha said, go around. I love this because she's like, I have nothing to offer. So he's like, okay, well, here you go. Go around, ask all of your neighbors for empty jars, and don't ask for just a few. Go inside your house and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all of the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. And she left him, and she shut the door behind her and her sons. Does this sound crazy to you? Like, totally? You're like, Lord, I owe like $6,000. Prophet's like, well, what do you have? I got $5. All right, well, I want you to go into your house and start counting out those $5 $1 bills and keep counting until you reach 6,000. That's pretty much the equivalent of this here on a much larger scale. This requires a crazy amount of faith. But we see something awesome as this widow with absolutely nothing. Even her jar is representative of her poverty. And he tells her that the nothing in her life will be something that God will use for greater. Just to act on this is just a crazy, crazy test of trust. I want to have faith like this. This lady's awesome. But God works in the impossible when we're obedient to give him what's in our jar. Can you imagine the questions that these neighbors that they're asking for empty jars must have had? What do you need these for? Well, let me tell you. And they're like, you're crazy. I wonder how many people told her no. No, I'm not even going to waste my time doing this because it's impossible. But the thing is the woman's trust in God outweighed the doubts that others had had. She decided to give God what was in her jar. Pick it up in verse 5. They brought the jars to her. She kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There's not a jar left." And then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, meaning Elisha. And he said, "Go and sell the oil to pay your debts. And then you and your sons can live on what is left." Not only, I love this, not only was her need met, but there was an abundance. There was an excess, enough left to live on. God doesn't just provide average. He's not a God of average. So don't treat him like it. When you give him your little bit, he will take it immeasurably further than you could ever think or believe. And this is such an incredible account of just the goodness of God, his provision, and what he can really do with our nothings. Think of what that widow said. "All I have is." What she was meaning is, this is what's in my jar. This is all I've got. So the question tonight is, what is in your jar? What's in your jar? We've got a few mason jars sitting here. And a lot of times we think they just sit empty. What's in your jar? Whatever that thing is, will you let God pour it out? Remember this oil poured out. And it kept being poured and poured and poured, but it was being multiplied as it was poured out. And it was used for greatness. Now the widow, she could have kept her jar of oil. She could have said, "This is all I got." But she wouldn't have experienced freedom, not only for her, but for her sons. See, our actions have consequences, good or bad. Her obedience allowed her sons to continue to live free. Now, I want you guys to turn over to Matthew 25. A little bit of a change of scenery here. Matthew chapter 25. A lot of you probably know this story. Some of you may not know. Here we find what's called the parable of the talents. Your translation may say something like the parable of the gold bags or the parable of the servants. It's the same story. It's just different translation and breaking it down. You know, a parable is how Jesus used to love to teach. What it pretty much means is this is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning and application. So we see Jesus teaching this parable, and he tells them the story about a man who's very, very rich, and he's going out on this long journey. But before he leaves, he calls these three servants to him. And to one, he gives what's called 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and then the last one gets 1. 5, 2, and 1. Pretty simple. 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent. And in verse 15, I want you to look in your Bible. The last part of that verse, it says that he gave these talents according to their abilities. Given talents according to their abilities. It shows us that God gives us each opportunities that will play off of our giftings, and he's not going to judge your ability based on somebody else's. Aren't you glad for that? I'm glad God didn't judge me on my 3-chord ability next to like lead guitarist of 25 years. That would be humiliating. God has given you gifts and abilities that he wants you to grow in. He's not going to judge you based off of somebody else's talent. It's like saying you can play guitar super good, but you can't sing. He's not going to judge you on your singing. He's saying, "I gave you the gift to do this. Don't worry about what that person's doing. I gave you this gift." And each of you has the ability to grow your ability. You each have the ability to grow your ability. And I love at the end of the parable, we see all this come together. We see the dude that was given 5 talents, he invested. And now they say that his master was gone for a long time. So each of them had equal opportunity to do something with what God had given them according to their abilities. So the guy with 5 talents, he doubles it. Master's happy. He's like, "Man, that's crazy. You did great. Let's celebrate." The guy with 2 talents, he doubles it. Same amount of time. But he's not judged, the guy with 2, on his ability to get 10 talents back. Master is just happy he did something with his ability. He doubles it. Master is ecstatic. He's like, "Man, let's celebrate. Let's do this." And he comes to the 1 talent guy. He's the guy that took his talent, took his ability to do something great for his master and buried it in the backyard. He makes a bunch of excuses like, "Oh, I just know you're a jerk," and this and that. But you see in the previous verses, the master wasn't, because what did he do? He rewarded the other ones. He celebrated with them. He was excited. So this guy made the assumption, "Oh, man, he's going to be upset." Why would he be upset if he tried? He was upset with the last servant who did nothing with it and handed him back the exact same thing he gave him because he did nothing with his ability. He did nothing with his ability. And by the way, we think of like a talent as like a coin or two, right? You think of like maybe a handful of change. One talent is equal to 20 years' wages. 20 years' wages. This is a lot of money. You can see why he was upset. He didn't expect the return to be equal to what the others were because it was judged on their ability. And he was upset because this guy just tried to maintain. He just tried to maintain. Jesus will never call you to just maintain, just to be average, just to say the same, because he wants you to grow into something greater. That's why we see in verse 27, he said, you could have at least just thrown it in the bank and built some interest on this. That's the easiest thing you possibly could have done, and you didn't even do that. The man did nothing. Zero effort equals a zero return, which equals zero growth. Now, what if the widow would have done nothing with her small jar of insignificant oil? She could have held it back from God. She could have said, there's nothing I can do with this. There's nothing I have to offer, just like the one talent guy did. But you see a contrast between the two of these. The fact is that she saw her ability and her jar for God to use it for greatness. It might not have seemed like much, but she was willing to let God take it and use it, whereas the guy with one talent wasn't. So what's in your jar? Your one talent might not seem like a whole lot, but it is of great value in the kingdom of God. So what's in your jar? What do you have to offer? You know, just looking at the stage up here. Well, this jar right here, man, this one represents the ability to give the speed the light. Look at this. We've got 6 envelopes with cash. And that money is going to go to missionaries who are going to spread the message of Jesus around the entire world. Each of you have the ability to impact nations. This jar, there's a couple random screwdrivers in here. This could represent several things. If you're mechanical, you could use this gift to bless other people. Maybe it represents how Jesus wants to use you to fix broken people around you, to share the love. This one's got some pens, man. Maybe you're creative. Maybe you can write. Maybe you can draw. You're good with words. God can use that. Over here we have a microphone because all of us should be a sounding voice for Jesus, whether we think we can speak or not. Maybe it's a talent like singing. You can bless somebody else with it. Over here, there's some guitar picks. Maybe you're good with music. Maybe you can bless somebody else. Maybe you can allow God to use that. What do you have to offer? Don't doubt its significance. It may seem like the most minor thing. It may seem impossible to use. Maybe you're like this poor widow, and you're like, I'm legit poor. I don't have anything to offer. Don't play that, because you have the ability to sympathize with others who may be on hard times. Maybe you're not the best at speaking, but you're a really, really good listener, almost as good as Michael is at using his phone during the service. You could help somebody through suicidal thoughts by being a good listener. Maybe you don't have a ton of friends, but you have an entire school as a platform that you can use to just love on others the way Jesus did. What's in your jar? What's in your jar? The greatest disappointment in your life will not come from failure. It'll come from lack of faith. It's not the failures. It's the things that you didn't give God because your faith wasn't strong enough to say, Lord, here it is. So I'm going to ask you again, what's in your jar? Be faithful with it. Let God use it. Let God pour it out and multiply it in order to increase in your abilities. Everybody go ahead, bow their head, close their eyes. We do this here just as a way to respect others and some of their responses at Rage. And so that is why we do that. I'm just going to ask you tonight, maybe some of you haven't really pursued a greater calling in your life because you're at a point where you're holding back from God. Not just holding back your talents, your abilities, your likes, your desires because you feel like they're too insignificant to be used for greatness, but you hold back your very self. You hold back from giving your very life to Jesus, giving him all of you. If you really want to step into greater, if you want God to really use your abilities, if you want to just have more than an average existence in this life, it begins with giving God everything. Whether that's first time, you've never done it before, or it's coming back like you've done it maybe 100 times. But the 101st, you're like, this time's for real. This time, I know something's different. This time, I'm giving God all of me. So whether you're first time or coming back, I'm just going to ask you right now, just be bold. Just stand up and head towards the back. There's a few people that'll be back there that will pray with you. I just want you to stand up and head back there. If that's you, you just want to give God everything of you in the form of a relationship, I want you to go to the back right now. The rest of you can look up here. Sometimes we do hold back a jar because we think it's empty. But the fact is God has given all of us abilities, sometimes things we haven't discovered yet. Sometimes it takes a while to figure out what these things are. And so I don't want you to use that excuse that, oh, I have nothing to offer. Think like the widow. She's like, I got nothing. But, oh, wait, there's this one thing. Even if it doesn't seem like much, God can use this. So what is in your jar? What can you offer God?
Thanks tonight? Again for tuning in to the Rage Student Ministries podcast. We are a local youth ministry located in East Lansing, Michigan. We meet every Wednesday at 7 p.m. If you're ever around, feel free to check us out. Also, you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.